Well, why don't we turn to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. While you're finding that, which I think you'll have no trouble with, it's the very back of the Bible and almost the end of the Bible. We've only got a few more chapters to go. So we're drawing to the end of the tribulation period as we've been going through and teaching through this. And, you know, I think if we don't have an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective of the things going on, it's hard to have a right perspective of God's judgment and things that are being meted out on this world after we're raptured and taken and being in his presence and so on. Now, as we know, all hell's breaking loose here on earth. And we've been talking in chapter 17, which was, honestly, it was so troubling. I hardly slept last Saturday night. I hardly slept because in preparing for that, chapter 17 was just so troubling to me. The everything tied to it, the religious Babylon or the spiritual Babylon and the deception and the wind of deception that any of us could be caught up in, and how cautious we need to be that our sights are firmly fixed on the person of Jesus Christ, and nothing else, just the person of Jesus Christ, and how important that is for us as Christians, as people who are following the Lord. There's so many things vying for our attention and pulling and tugging on us, and we get busy, and things are happening, and you know, just and it's just easy to lose sight of the simplicity of God's love for you, his desire to walk with you, his desire to have fellowship with you and with me and to experience that. And so we kind of got to finish up that part, and now we're in verse 1 of chapter 18. And after these things, well, whenever you hit an after these things, that must mean it's definitely a transitional statement, don't you think? You know, I mean, obviously something's changing after what we just talked about. Now this happened, right? So there's some kind of a natural transition there as we're reading this. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of their plagues. For her sins have reached to the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously in the shame, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. We'll stop there, and then we'll read that next portion. We'll just kind of discuss this, and then we'll read the next portion and discuss it. So there's a when it says after these things, there's this slight transition. So the transition is from what we're talking about, which is intricately connected, the spiritual Babylon that we've spoke about, you know, this religious one-world religion that's going to take over the earth during the tribulation period, which certainly we see things setting up for things like that. Well, there's also a one-world economic and political structure that's simultaneously being set up. We talked about the beginnings of that last week. And remember, it talks about the woman who rides the beast, right? The woman, there's a woman riding. So this religious Babylon, this spiritual entity, is there thinking she's steering the beast, which is the global economic and political structure, thinking she's in control. But then remember, we read that the nations kind of turned, those leaders turned on that system and overtook and took it into themselves and destroyed that religious system, but kept all the goods from it, right? In other words, kept all the resources, kept the minds and hearts of the people. You know, engage them in this process, and then now twisted it around to where now this global economic and political structure that's put in place. It is interesting, you know, that we find even today there's so much connected. And those of you who work in finance or have much to do with money moving around the world, how quickly it transfers now. Money just transfers around the globe. I mean, just internationally, it just transfers so fast, you know. And it transfers, you know, with a couple of clicks, doesn't it? I mean, it just moves. And this is how things happen, right? So I'm up there, and I'm talking with, and a lot of you guys know Mike Mack. And so we were talking. He's kind of an interesting fellow, to say the least. You know, he's always got his hands and stuff, and he's always talking about different things. And no doubt he kind of is aware, he has a lot of connections of certain things, so sometimes it's a bit, you have to be prepared, it's a bit doomsday sometimes when you interact with him. But there was something interesting he brought. He goes, yeah, I've been doing some research. He doesn't know where I'm teaching or anything, but he goes, I've been doing some research. And he goes, I just came across this thing, and he said, it's a real interesting thing. And he goes, Babylon right now, actually in Iraq, which Babylon physically is actually in Iraq, okay? And so what's being spoken of, the actual place that we're talking about, the physical place, is actually in Iraq. Not right in the capital, but just outside of, you know, the ancient Babylon. Well, they're running all of these fiber optics in there right now, just putting all this stuff in there. It was like, and he goes, yeah, isn't that, I go, wow. You know, because my wheels, my antennas are up, and I'm listening, I'm trying to think, wow, really? And he goes, yeah, isn't that an interesting thing? They're putting all this fiber optic into that area, and it's almost like they could actually house all kinds of, you know, economic, you know, data, and they could house all kinds of financial data and all this stuff. And wow, that's interesting, isn't it? So you can do your own Google research on that. I just thought it was interesting. You know, I haven't had a chance. I gave you my, I'm just sharing what someone shared with me. I'm not saying that's a thus saith the Lord, and I'm not saying I have gone through and validated. I'm just giving you, it was interesting. I would trust that he's aware of these kind of things and has been doing some research on it. But I just thought it was interesting. If in fact, let's just say perchance, what he's saying is actually going on, which I believe it probably is, what an infrastructure that's already being put in place. Because I believe there's two things when we read chapter 18, two things that are happening. There is an actual place of the city of Babylon. There's this actual place that is going to be a hub for all of this international trade to end up taking place. I think there's actually a place that this is going to take place in. Okay. Outside of that, there's also then this mindset that's connected to a very worldly mindset that's connected to this. So not only is there a physical place that this is going to happen, but it's also a global mindset that's tied to it. A one world government, a one world political structure, a one world a monetary system where everything traffics through. This angelic being now is crying out in those first two verses saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. And now it's this place that only houses demons and foul spirits and just a horrible place. And all the nations, though, have been brought into this. You know, in verse 3, it talks about all the nations. Everybody has gotten caught up. You know, I found it interesting, and this is a microcosm of a big picture of this. Those of you who've traveled, some of you may have worked in or been involved in working in D.C. area at some point in time in your life, Washington, D.C. And some of you have maybe traveled in there and stuff, but I've spent just enough time. I had some friends that work on the Hill, and I've just been around there. I only spent one you know, maybe a week or so there. But just in the time I was there and just talking with my friends that work on the Hill and are involved with, you know, senators and congressmen and different things there, and just interacting with, you know, and I was watching what was going on. I said, man, that just seems kind of, this is what's weird, is people actually almost are intoxicated, and this is no joke, intoxicated. Did you hear, what word I'm using, right? I'm purposely using it. They're intoxicated with the power that these other people have, and they're like weirdly drawn to them. I mean, it's really a weird thing. But it's kind of what I'm reading here, because I observed that when I was there, and I'm just thinking that's kind of like a small snippet of verse 3. You know, all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. They're almost just intoxicated with this power, this authority, and what they think they're going to get from it personally, that they're personally going to benefit from it. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Basically, they're all in cahoots, right? You know, basically, they're all in bed with each other. You get the idea, right? You know? It's not a healthy relationship, right? But they're all intimate and connected to one another in an inappropriate way. That's what that's the polite version of that. But you get the idea. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So much is trafficking through there, and it's all hinged on that interaction. And so they all are benefiting. And so they're all in it. You know, they're in on the deal. And so they're kind of tied in that way. And then there's the verse 4, and we'll come back to this at some point in the study. But I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. There is something that we are to be different, isn't it? As Christians, there is something in there that we're not to really be just like the rest of the world. You know, there's something should be different about us. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. You know, at some point, this is the same discussion that was happening when the angels came and were talking with Abraham. Before they went in to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a similar discussion. Hey, this has reached this perversity has reached up into the eternal realm. God's always seen, God's always aware, but you know, this has become such an issue that God's gonna have to deal with it. Their sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered their sin, their iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she mixed, mix double for her. In other words, not only is this wrath going to be poured out because of a Christ-rejecting world, but because of the extreme perversity and because of the desire to entangle others in the perversity, you see? Now see, some of you might remember when you were in the world. Hopefully none of us are functioning this way now. And if we are, hopefully it's for good. We can use our influence, our sphere of ability, to connect people with good things, or we can use it to connect people with wickedness. When I was in the world, I tried to connect people with wickedness, with the wicked things that I was wanting to do and be a part of them. I tried to engage anybody else I could to be a part of my horribleness, you know? That's how the world works. You know, that's how the worldliness works. And I remember the Lord speaking my heart when I gave my life back to him. He said, you know, Jim, you need to be able to do this in a right way now. You've done foolish things. Now you need to do things in a way that's going to engage people with me. And you and I, all of us have a sphere of connection with some people, with different people. And you have an opportunity in that circumstance to connect them with good things, to connect them with, because see, Jesus lives in you. Jesus lives in me. In each one of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, he lives within us. And that means the kingdom of God dwells within you and I, the kingdom. And you know, when we get near people, the kingdom of God comes near them. There's an opportunity for them to interact with light and love and truth and hope. All those things that dwell within our being from the presence of God. It's not innate to us. It's something that's been imported because of the finished work of the cross. That's drawn in, and we are able to share with others these things. This being poured out, this being poured out, they've been engaging and drawing people in verse 6 to all this horrible things completely opposite from God. And really, it's intoxicated really on the things of this earth. It's really materialism on steroids. That's the way I would look at it. Just materialism just gone crazy, right? You guys think, wow, it's kind of crazy now, huh? It's much worse. You know, it's much worse. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. See, they live large at the expense of others, right? Yeah, that's part of the whole deal with worldly mindset. It doesn't matter what, as long as I'm cool, man, it doesn't matter what happens to anybody else. That's the mindset, and that's how they totally function in this worldly mindset of this. Same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she, listen to what this mindset is in the latter part of verse 7. It says, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. You know, that's the deception, isn't it? That, oh yeah, no, it's going to be cool. It's not going to affect you bad. You know, it's all okay. Hey, no big deal. Therefore, because of that, her plagues will come one day, in one day. This thing about it. What it takes to besiege. And you think these guys were familiar. This is written 2,000 years ago. Their manner of warfare. Took me a little bit to get that out, but I got there. Their manner of, my wheels get spinning so fast. Their manner of warfare to besiege a city or something would take just so much time. If you read history, you know, what it was like. I mean, they could go days, weeks, months, sometimes years, you know, just continually trying to bombard and overtake something. But this now, it begins, it says, come, this happens in one day. It gets crazier. One day seems short. Death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. You remember when we started with our psalm this morning? Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he wants, basically. It says he does what he pleases. Oh, yours are idols, worldly people. Yours are idols, but our dad, our God, man, he does what he wants, how he wants, because he's great and awesome and all-powerful. Let's read verse 9 through verse 20. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. So there's going to be some people off at a distance seeing this, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, so we've gone for a day, 1 hour, your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls. Put a little mark right there, a little hash in your Bible. Not a hashtag, just like a little slash mark is what I meant. Fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet. Another little hash mark right there. Every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze and marble, hash mark. And cinnamon and incense and fragrance and oil and frankincense, another little hash mark there. Wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep. And fine flour and wheat. Cattle and sheep, mark. Horses and chariots, mark. And bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls." Verse 17, "For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out, and they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is it? What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven.'" Verse 20, "And you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Wow. That was a lot, wasn't it? To read through and kind of think about, but quickly as we kind of go through it, we'll draw some application at the end of the message, you know, on some of this. But when we read through this in the context of what's happening, God's wrath is being poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. The Proverbs say, you know, when people cast off restraint, lawlessness abounds. So when we cast off restraint, you know, in other words, I don't want any accountability. I'm just going to do what I want to do. When we cast off restraint, what happens is sin or lawlessness abounds. In other words, it's all willy-nilly. It's all just a free-for-all. It's just, so lawlessness or sin abounds. And we know what's the end result of sin? You know, sin brings death, right? That's the end result. Destruction, personal destruction, national destruction, global now destruction. That's what we're talking about is happening. They've just rejected God, rejected God's plan. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously, this connection that there was with this, when they see the smoke of her burning, they're looking at all this. They're off at a distance. They fear and torment. Again, look at this as we see. "For in 1 hour your judgment has come." God judges this, and it's 1 hour, and it's just destroyed. Now, you and I might think, well, not only can destruction happen that quickly, but look at Dubai and some of these cities over there where they have such excessive wealth because of the oil, right? Look at some of those cities that they have built up. I mean, they've come up like in a matter of just a few years. So don't think that Babylon couldn't just re-exist and emerge quickly, because it could. You know, we just kind of sometimes think in a trowel and a shovel and just because we don't, have that kind of resource. But, they just make things happen. I mean, they got resource, they got manpower, they can just make it happen. So, but then also destruction can happen quickly. 1 hour. Think of just a small nuclear bomb, dirty bombs, things like that. They go in and how quickly things can just plume and gone. We've seen this in modern time with what happened in Hiroshima. Right? So we've seen the destruction, how quickly nuclear things can destroy. 1 hour, just everything's wiped out. They're off at a distance. The merchants in verse 11 of the earth will weep and mourn over this loss. And this is the merchandise of gold, silver, and I had you put little marks in there for a reason, because these are all like almost like in categories. It's almost like you're walking through a mall. It's kind of interesting the way it's written. Okay, you got all the jewelry section right there. You know, the jewelry stores and all this stuff. It's like walking through a mall. And then fine linen and scarlet. Yeah, all the things that, clothing and all the cool stuff that you'd wear. And then it goes on, and every kind of citron wood and every kind of all the furnishings and all the things that go with that. You can almost kind of see it as it breaks down. And then cinnamon, incense, frankincense, fragrant oil, and you get to, there's the jewelry store. Then we saw the furniture stores, and now we're walking around the mall, and oh, look, they just sell perfume in there. That's awesome. You know, all the things, it's materialism. It's just seen for exactly what it is, as a material, all this material stuff. Wine and oil and fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep. Well, look at all the restaurants. Boom, 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 boom. All the restaurants pop up, right? And then it says, horses and chariots. So those of you guys like the cars and the automotive department, there it is. You know, all the car lots. You know, it's just kind of funny. You know, you look at it, you see this all kind of divided out in there. But then it gets into this and says, and the bodies and souls of men. Pornography, prostitution, human trafficking, all the yucky, horrible stuff that goes on in the darkness, in the sense. Because people are giving themselves in just horrible ways to these things, and some are enslaved into it and doing that. It's that horrible. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. These things that you wanted, and now it's all gone up, literally gone up in smoke. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone away from you. All the material things. You ever gone down to the junkyard and hung out a little bit? The junkyard's a great place to go. It's a great spiritual place to go, really. Go hang around the junkyard a little bit. The most fascinating thing to me is, well, one, rust is no respecter of anything. Rust likes metal. So rust doesn't care what emblem was on that vehicle, right? So rust is no respecter of brand, you know? No matter what kind of car it is, it's going to go the same way, right? But, you know, this at some point was somebody's huge object of affection. This was somebody's super awesome, and that's why I like going through and kind of making a little mark. Some of you just, y'all like to smell good, maybe. You're just into perfumes. Awesome, you know? We appreciate it. But, you know, some of you just, man, you just got to have the latest and greatest vehicles, you know? Cool. Some of you got to have, you know, oh, no, it's furniture, man. I like nice furniture. Well, good. We all like nice furniture. That's cool. But you know what's going to happen to it, right? The Bible says it's all going to burn in a fervent heat. It's all going to burn in a fervent heat. I'll come back to that thought right before we close. Yeah. He's saying, yeah, I'm sure you will. Pastor Jim, you just really like that hellfire and brimstone stuff. That is awesome. Yeah, this is kind of my kind of chapter, I guess, in certain ways. I really do like it. Why? Because you know why I like it? Because it's real. That's what's going to happen. You know, I know it's out there a little ways, but the thing is, you go to the junkyard, you see it happening. Think that was somebody's awesome baby that they just loved, you know, this car they had to have. They worked so hard for it. They spent good money. They maybe even sacrificed. They didn't go to ball games to see their kids play. They missed a lot of things that might have been really eternally significant, maybe, possibly. But they got that awesome thing, man. That thing that they had to have. And you know what? Watch it, man, when it goes through a big crusher, man. Just, you know, and it's just a pile of just stuff. You know, it's just metal crunched up and, you know, leather crunched up. For a lot of us, it was just vinyl or pleather. But for some, it was leather. But, you know, it's just crunched up, right? It's gone. It's just good to see it for that, because that is what happens to your stuff and my stuff. That's what's going to happen to it all. They cried out, man, verse 18, and they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city, man? All of our commerce was trafficking through this hub. Everything was going on through the hub. The money was trafficking through the hub. Everything was going on through the hub, and now the hub's gone. Now what happens? It's gone. They threw dust in their heads, on their heads, and they cried out, weeping and wailing, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. Man, they were everything. The commerce was just coming through there. That's basically what it's saying. And 1 hour, gone. Verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. It is talking about utter destruction, complete. The sound of the harpists, musicians, flutists and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. Man, they were producing some of the best music, some of the greatest CDs you could ever find. Best downloads. Some of us knew about vinyls when they came out. Some of us were familiar with vinyls. Some of us were familiar when, oh, woo, 8-tracks. Man, this is cool, man. 8-track, you shove this thing in your car, you know. Then, oh, cassette, man. It's a fraction. The cassette is a fraction of the size of the 8-track. That was awesome. That was super great. Then all of a sudden, we got these CDs. Oh, this is, wow. CDs, they tried to do the micro. Do you remember the micro CDs, the small ones? That just never really caught on because technology started happening so fast, we got into downloads. And now it's just easy, man. You got a thumb drive, man. You can have all kinds of, you know, you need a thumb drive. Just go out on a site, just boom, off it is. It's in your phone. So crazy how this is, but they were producing all this great music. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. Not, all this is gone. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard. You're not producing anything anymore. Nothing's trafficking through you. Verse 23, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on the earth. They, all of this worldly system was involved in the destruction or the you know, shaming in the sense or killing and martyring believers and followers. And it's the same mindset is the thought. The same mindset, remember, that Nero had, right? Remember when he was lopping off heads and burning Christians and so on. It's the same mindset that it's just a worldly mindset that rejects God. Now, when you go to the podcast, you'll see this will have a title on it. And the title on it is, What Makes You Cry? Many of us have lost a friend or a loved one. It's a legitimate loss and worthy of weeping and crying. It's a loss. It's a personal loss. Even as believers, we're going to miss interaction with them. We're going to have to suffer a sense of loss. But all these that we've just read, weeping, wailing, because they lost material goods. Be careful for what makes you weep, what makes you cry. It's a direct revelation of what's happening in here. Jesus said, what is it for a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What is it? What are you working for? It's good that we're supposed to work hard. We want to be productive. We want to do, you know, all that's right. But we got to be so clear in our minds of what it is that's going to make us cry. Because if you're crying over a piece of metal that just got smashed, you're crying over the wrong thing. All your affections were placed in that thing that got destroyed. I've had many great experiences where I've wandered around. It's a horrible experience, but great in this context, where I've wandered around absolutely mass destruction. Massive. Thousands upon thousands of lives lost. Cars just twisted and piled up in piles that were so high, looked like small hills or mountains. Homes were just nothings that just, everything just spread all over the place. I can't tell you what it was like in Tohoku to see all of that, you know, and stand in a place and look, as far as I look, I spun around, and as far as I could look in every direction up in northern Japan, northeastern Japan, it's just, everything's gone. And it's just, it smelled like and looked like, I used to go to the dump with my dad when I was a kid, and it looked like just a dump. As far as I could see, any direction, it looked like a dump. Just total destruction. Everything that man had been working so hard for, and the things that they loved and cared about so much, all gone. The loss of life, yep, that's worth weeping over. But all the stuff, I don't know about that. Rethinking that. That's all they're weeping about. What makes you cry? What is your heartstring so connected to? It's okay to have all kinds of stuff, but you can't have emotional attachment to it. You can't have affections to it as a believer. It's unhealthy for us. Loss of a friendship, yeah, that's worth crying over. But stuff, Doesn't matter. Everything was connected to the materialism. And the reason I'm hitting this the way I am is because we live in a time and a season where things are very materialistic. A time of life that's totally preparing us for this. We're on the early stages, maybe late stages. I'll let you pray through that. I think we're on borrowed time, scripturally. Depends upon how long a generation is. The nation Israel blossoms and blooms, becomes a nation again, says that generation shall not pass. Depends upon how long a generation is. Depends upon where you take it out of the Bible. Some places it's 40 years. Some places it's 70 some years, 72. Some places it's just over 120. Think about that. It just depends where you want to take it from. In some ways, we could be on borrowed time. Some ways, we could have a little bit of time left. How do you want to spend your time? What are you focused on? What really matters? Interesting things to think on. Extra credit reading. You can read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34. That's your extra credit reading. You can think about that. And see what you come up with out of that. I won't even say anything about that, much as I want to. But you can just read through that. I, you know, for me, it was just a very interesting little portion of scripture, you know, that the Lord put on my heart to tie to that. And I think it'd be worth thinking about. What makes you cry? Lord, help us to adjust our priorities and have right thinking about what really matters. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their love for you. And Lord, I would ask your forgiveness for the times that I've cried about the wrong stuff. I'm thankful that I got to have a little bit more of an eternal perspective by spending some very concentrated time with you this week, Lord. I thank you for that. I think it helped me to understand some things a little more clearly. Something happens to us when we spend time with you, Lord. It doesn't change you, but it changes us. It changes what's important, what really matters. It all of a sudden we start seeing things from an eternal perspective, a perspective of lives, not stuff, of relationships, of eternity, of souls. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Man, I'm so grateful that we're getting to the end of the wrath being poured out, Lord, and just getting to the glory of the end of this. Lord, how you rule and reign forever and ever. And sin and death is ultimately completely destroyed. Satan is thrown into the fire, man, just it's gone forever and ever and ever. Lord, we just are so thankful that we stand on the side of the victorious with you, that we're victors in you. Help us to embrace it. Help us to walk in it. And we just ask that you'd bless, continue to provide for the furtherance of your work here through Calvary Chapel in Jesus' name. Amen.